Now, for 90 years, this church hasn't ever flinched from preaching Christ and Him crucified. Now, I was giving the headings Reflect, Relate, Renew. And I hope I'm not cheating on those three headings. What I want to do this evening, because I didn't really get a chance and was preaching through the Beatitudes, I want to just simply preach Christ and Him crucified this evening. And so we will reflect on the central truth that the church has had over the 90 years. We will relate the needs of unsaved people here in the meeting, and we, I trust, renew the enthusiasm of all of us in hearing afresh the gospel of the grace of God. Now, this morning I was preaching from the book of Revelation, because this past couple of weeks I just can't keep out of that book, and I have been enjoying it so much, and I want to preach from the book of Revelation again this evening. If there's one book that brings fear into the hearts of unbelievers, surely it must be the book of Revelation. Its vivid descriptions of the certainty of the judgment and the wrath of God for all eternity upon those who reject the Savior. Sinner friend in the meeting tonight, I wouldn't want to swap places with you for anything. If you continue as you are and die rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, you will one day stand before Him, stand before your Maker, guilty, condemned, without hope, forever. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, and we seek to do that in love this evening. I have a rather unusual text. It's not a phrase, it's not a verse, it's not a chapter, it's not a portion. I want to preach the gospel tonight from the book of Revelation. How foolhardy is that? I want to take as our text the whole of the book of Revelation. Now, my main thrust is not the fearful judgment upon sinners, but rather the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ that the book of Revelation sets forth. We do not have to go on to beyond the title of the book to see the theme. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that word revelation is the apocalypse, which means the unveiling. It's the unveiling of Christ. It's the revealing of Christ. And please note, this irks me at times when people speak about the book of Revelations. It's the book of Revelation singular. It is the unveiling of Christ. Now, it's not the prophecies or the visions or the judgments that are the main concern of the book. Friends, the book of Revelation is what it says it is. It is the unveiling of Christ. And the essence of the book is the majestic and victorious Savior, the Lord of all glory. He's the theme of the book. Yes, it is a book feared by unbelievers, very often neglected by believers because of the difficulty of interpretation. And friends, it is difficult. It's very, very difficult. We read about beasts coming out of the earth and beasts coming out of the sea, locusts, seven seals, the false prophet, thunderings, trumpets, bowls of wrath, horses, Gog and Magog, Babylon, the great tribulation, Armageddon, scarlet woman, the number 666, the 144,000, the 1,000 years that's caused so much trouble in Revelation chapter 20. We read about the dragon. And when we read about these things, it's difficult. It's very difficult. On the other hand, some believers have an inordinate and excessive interest in these things. Some new believers, before they can even grasp and understand the ABCs of the gospel, they want to get into the book of Revelation. And their minds are blown away with every wind of very bizarre and weird doctrine. Usually that comes from America. It's also difficult in the book of Revelation because it has caused, I believe, very unnecessary contentions. We need to agree to disagree in certain interpretations of the book of Revelation. On this account, preachers are reluctant to preach through the book because they know there's people from different schools of thought when it comes to the interpretation. But friends, I just want us to get to the main theme of it this evening, and the delights of the book of Revelation. So much to gladden the hearts of God's people. So many precious things, so many practical things are found in the book of Revelation. In the midst of life's trials, God sees the believer's tears. He hears their prayers. He will avenge their adversaries. They are sure to be triumphant. Furthermore, their salvation is certain. Their deaths are precious to God. Heaven is their eternal home. The Christ who died for them is the Christ who cares for them. And he who has conquered death and lives in the power of an endless life will one day bring them to himself forever. Much to gladden the hearts of the believers. Our souls ought to be filled with a longing of the Savior. And how the Bible tells us, behold, he is coming. And all the joy that Jesus Christ will come again. The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. To this end, the people of God are not just seen as the servants of God in the book of Revelation. We're his bride. What a lovely thing. Wish I had time this evening to speak to you and preach on the marriage supper of the Lamb. One of the greatest themes in all of the scripture, the marriage supper of the Lamb. We, the church, are his bride. But let's get back to the main theme again, the person of Christ. In Revelation chapter 1, if you want to turn to it, Revelation chapter 1 from verse 4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Wow. You start to analyze these things, and you start to look at these truths, and I can only just say a word in each of these titles and so forth. Jesus Christ is the faithful witness. Absolutely so. He cannot lie. He's the faithful witness. He's the firstborn from the dead. And that's an amazing little phrase, the firstborn. That is, he's the only begotten, and that's a glorious theme. He's the only begotten of God. He's the firstborn, speaks of his pre-existence. The firstborn from the dead speaks of his resurrection. What a title that is. I love this. He's the ruler over the kings of the earth. Couldn't be any more explicit, could it? Him who loved us and washed us, or if you like, loosed us from our sins. We're at the very center of salvation here. He is the one who can wash and loose us from the burden of our sins. In his own blood, the cost of it all. He gave everything. He gave himself to purchase his bride, his people. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. What graphic language is there? Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, and him whom they pierced. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Listen, his coming, the cosmic scope, the scale of his coming again. No one's going to miss the glory of this. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. They're the Greek letters for what we would say A and Z. He is A and Z. And I think what it means is that everything in between, all the letters, everything you want, everything that makes up life is found only in him. He's A right through to Z. and everything in between, who was, who is, and who was, and who is to come. He is the eternal Amen. No beginning, no ending, and yet He is the Almighty. Look, you just look at just those few verses, and you see something of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, His magnificence. This is the one we preach. This is the one that this church has preached. We preach Christ and Him crucified. In verse 13, look at what it says. In the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man. But this is the Son of God. This is the Almighty. And so we see something of the incarnation. The Almighty God, God the Son, became the Son of Man. The incarnation. His integration with our nature, yet without sin, flesh of our flesh, bone of our bone. Oh, listen, we're only in chapter 1 and we haven't exhausted chapter 1. And you could take a week in every one of these phrases. But you go through the rest of the book, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'll give you a few more titles from the book. He's the creator of heaven and earth and sea. He is the one who has the keys of death and hell. He is the Christ, that's the appointed, the anointed one. He's the Word of God, the living Word of God. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is faithful and true. He is the bright and morning star. But friends, there is one title in the book that occurs more often than any other. And this is what I really want us to get a grasp and a hold of this evening. He is the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. 29 times in the book of Revelation we read of the Lamb. I love what the hymn writer has said. The Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's land. People talk about going to heaven. What's heaven going to be like? Well, we'll know one another in heaven. Of course we will. Who we're going to meet in heaven. Listen. When we get to heaven, the Lamb is all the glory. For He has done it all. He is all the glory. Oh, that we might understand who it is we're preaching this evening. Revelation chapter 5 says this, "And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb." Capital L, it's a person. It's Jesus Christ. "Stood a lamb as though it had been slain." The Lamb. Slain. In chapter 13 and verse 8, we're told the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. What that actually means, Peter says it in simpler fashion. Peter says in his epistle, He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. What does that mean? In the plan of God, before there was a sinner, hallelujah, there was a Savior. Have you got that? He's the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Friends, salvation, it wasn't that God had to scratch His head. Adam has sinned, what are we going to do? Friends, it is the eternal plan of God. And we need to grasp these things. Oh, the Lamb of God, the Lamb slain. It's found right through Scripture leading up to this book of Revelation. You go way back to Genesis, you've had Adam and Eve. Their disobedience, they were clothed in animal skins. Now, we're not told what these animals were, I think when we get to glory, we'll discover it was the blood of the lamb, because it's right through the rest of the book. Before Adam and Eve could be clothed in skins, the animal had to be slain. I believe it must have been a lamb. Cain and Abel brought their sacrifices to God. Abel brought, what did he bring? The firstlings of the flock. He brought a lamb. You know how Cain brought a bloodless offering that was rejected by God, and we know the consequences. The night of the Passover, when Israel were held in bondage in Egypt, and the plagues came and so forth, and then at the very end, the angel of death was to come across the land. The people were told to get a lamb, one for each family. And get the lamb and slay the lamb. And take the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorposts and the lintel. Am I reading too much into it? The shape of the cross, the doorposts, the lintel. And when the angel of death came, when he saw the blood of the lamb, he passed over. And those inside were safe. Saved through the blood of a lamb. Then we get into the Levitical system. And there are other animals are mentioned in the sacrificial offerings and so forth. But the prominence in all of these animals was the lamb. And the lamb had to be without spot and without blemish. It had to be a perfect lamb. And so the penitent sinner would come with the lamb, the living lamb, and bring it to the priest. And the priest would get the lamb and stick the knife into the throat of the lamb and slay the lamb. But before that, the penitent would come to that living lamb and put his hands upon the lamb, confessing his sin. And then he sees the priest slaying the lamb, and he sees the lamb kicking and dying in the dust. And the man would say, the lamb is dying, but I go free. It's right through Scripture. Isaiah speaks prophetically hundreds of years before Calvary. And he speaks about the suffering servant of Jehovah led as a lamb to the slaughter. The lamb slain. John the Baptist at Christ's baptism pointed to Christ. Oh, the Lamb had come. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Oh, friends, this book, the longer I go on, the more precious this book becomes, because it's indescribable, this book. This is the living word of the living God to all our hearts. And oh, what a volume of truth. And Christ is at the very center of it all. But we're coming back to this book of Revelation, friends. Revelation chapter 5. Wonderful chapter of God's word. And I saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because there was no one found worthy to open and read the scroll and to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seals. And I looked and beheld in the midst of the throne and of the 4 living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Listen, here is the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the book of the very meaning, the purpose, everything about life. It's sealed with 7 seals. Who can understand the mysteries of life? Who can understand history? There was only one Abel. He was the key to the understanding of the deep mysteries of life. The only one can make any sense of the history of the world. Friends, I say this, and I say this very deliberately. Without Christ, life is utterly meaningless. Sinner friend, if you haven't got the Savior, you're not living. You're only existing. Life is found in Christ. Life is only found in Christ. Revelation chapter 5 verse 7. He came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living elders and the 24 elders, or the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. He's the meaning of life. Nothing makes history, and this world does not make sense if you remove Christ from it. But he comes and he opens up the seals for everything. Verse 13, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits in the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Listen, we further read about the Lamb in Revelation. The Lamb is the light. We read about the blood of the Lamb, the song of the Lamb, the 12 apostles of the Lamb, the marriage of the Lamb, and oh, the throne of God and of the Lamb upon the throne. Can't you see the wonder of this book, the wonder of the person that it reveals, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ? He's the Lamb. He's the Lamb slain. He's the Lamb risen. He's the Lamb worshipped. He is the Lamb glorified. You miss him. You have missed the whole point of life. Sinner, can I just hone in to where you are? This affects you. This affects you. You can't escape this. Those people who go to heaven are not good people. They're sinners. But sinners who have come in repentance and bowed the knee and trusted Christ for salvation. And the blood of that Lamb is their only hope of heaven. And it's through the blood of the Lamb that they're now in glory. Do you know that in heaven there's a song, and only the redeemed in heaven, the only ones who can go to heaven have to be able to sing this song, and it's found in chapter 1. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Can you sing that song? Can you sing that song that they're going to be singing forever in glory? To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Salvation's nothing to do with what your puny little righteous acts can do. All your righteousness is as filthy rags. It's all about what Christ has done, what the Lamb of God has done at Calvary. It's about the shedding of his blood. He has done it all, and those who love him will sing forever in heaven to him who loved us, washed us from our sin. Then in Revelation 21 and 27 and other parts of this book, we read about the Lamb's Book of Life. The only ones in glory are those whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life, those who belong to him. What's the consequences of rejecting the Lamb of God? What a solemn thing. What if you reject him? Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb. And the Lamb will overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Friends, Revelation tells us the whole system of wickedness and ungodliness, fueled by the devil and his cohorts, They're arrayed against the Christ of God. All the political powers, all the false systems of religion, everything that is contrary to the purity and the wonder of God himself. The Lamb will overcome them all. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 20, from verse 10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Listen, sinner friend, to this. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things that were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead who were in it. And they were judged, each one according to his works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Friends, hell is forever. Forever. Revelation chapter 6, I'm nearly finished. Listen to this. Revelation 6, verse 15. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in caves and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne. What an amazing thing this is. From the wrath of the Lamb. The wrath. All the great men of this world and all who thought they were anything, they will fear when the great day of God's judgments come. Hide us from the wrath of God, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Sinner friend this evening, as this church begins to celebrate its 90th year in existence, why will you perish? The one who will show his wrath on the day of judgment shows his mercy today. The Savior of the world is standing before you, a lamb slain. The Christian life is not an easy life. We were looking at that in the Beatitudes. The Christian life is a difficult life. But it's the only life worth living. And at the end of that life, it's to be with Christ, which is far better. Some of you have probably been carried in your mother's arms into this church, and you're still not saved. Some of you have sat under great gospel ministries in this place, and you're still not saved. Some of you have been well educated in the Sunday school and the children's and youth meetings of the church, and still you're not saved. Some of you have been prayed for by many of God's people in Lisburn Baptist Church, and you're still not saved, and nobody deserves to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ twice. Do you hear what our brother said about his mother? She heard the gospel once, transformed not only her life, but the life of her family. You don't deserve to hear the gospel twice, and yet you've been cradled in it. Did you hear Brother Billy telling us the sadness? His 13-year-old daughter died. None of us are too young to die. But if you die without Christ, you are eternally damned. Why will you perish? when you have heard time and time again from this church, Jesus Christ and Him crucified is your only hope of salvation and hope. See Him on yonder cross, He who was God in flesh. See Him bearing sin in His own body. See the wrath of God poured upon Him. See how He made peace through the blood of His cross. Now you enter into that peace. When you're willing to forsake your wicked ways and repent of your sin and come and trust Him as your Savior. Sinner friend, you don't know what you're missing. Life only begins at Calvary. He that has the Son hath life. Oh, that you might find the Savior in all His glory. The Lamb. The Lamb slain. The Lamb risen. The Lamb worshipped. The Lamb glorified. The Lamb upon the throne. Tonight, is it again going to be the Lamb rejected? Be that in your own head. But this church and I tonight have warned you. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And yet tonight you can come into the arms of a loving Savior who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.